This morning we want to study what is a very important subject, but one that can be complicated. And the way we want to approach this study will not allow us to cover everything that we want to look at in it in the 30 minutes that we have allotted at this particular time. So this will be the beginning of what, Lord willing, will be probably three or so lessons of study on this topic of salvation and works. Since this involves our eternal salvation, any subject that pertains to that obviously is important. We do need to understand the role of works in our salvation. We study God's word, we will find that he refers to different kinds of works. That's where things can get complicated if we don't distinguish or understand the difference between types of works and how some are not going to pertain to our eternal salvation. In fact, would be contrary to our eternal salvation versus works that God shows us are necessary for our eternal salvation. So obviously this is a very important topic, but it does have some complication to it, or some complexity to it, because of the different kinds of works that the Lord teaches about in his word. And a lot of people are very confused by the subject. But that's why we want to go into a lot of detail in this particular study, to really search this out, to see the different points that the Lord makes in his word about salvation and works. Now, we're going to be primarily, since our eternal salvation is based in which testament in the scriptures, the New Testament, the Gospel of Christ. So therefore, we're going to be primarily looking at this topic from a New Testament standpoint, although it is going to involve some Old Testament scriptures. But the works that we want to look at, this particular word is going to be a word that we see in the New Testament in the Greek language, the original language of the New Testament. Ergon is the common word in New Testament Greek for work. And we even have English words that use a form of that Greek word. What do they call a type of keyboard, those curvy kind that are supposed to help protect you from carpal tunnel syndrome? They're to help you work on your computer without giving you wrist problems. And they're called ergonomic keyboards. And I think we use that, some form of ergo or ergon, which is the Greek word for work, in a number of English words. So we should be familiar with that word, actually, in a sense. But it is a word that means to work or toil. So it's the common Greek word for work. And so in our King James Version in the New Testament of the Bible, that's what we see in as the English translation, work or works. That's not the complicated part, the actual word here. It means what we understand it to mean, what work is. It's the kinds of works, the different kinds that we have to discern. So there's certain Bible words that are used in different ways. If there's one word that's used one way, well, then that's not as challenging as if there's a word that the Lord uses in a number of different ways or applications. Because what do we have to do then if the word is used in different ways? Well, we have to look at each case and look at the context, compare it to what God teaches in other places to be able to discern those differences or to note the similarities in the cases where the Lord is using a particular kind of work. So we do have to compare spiritual things with spiritual, which the Lord commands us to do. And we have to look at the context and pay attention to that very, very carefully, which is what we will be aiming to do in this study. But there are different kinds of works, and we can see that very plainly in Scripture. In John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, the fact that they're different kinds of works should be very clear just in these three verses. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But three verses later, he says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds, there's that word work. So sometimes we'll see it translated deeds. Same thing. Work, deed, same thing. Their deeds, their works were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So there are two different kinds of deeds, and this is the word ergon, two different kinds of works that he very explicitly speaks about here. Evil deeds, evil works, versus those that are wrought in God. Good works. So there are works that are good, and there are works that are evil. So obviously there's more than one kind of works right there, and that just that passage alone shows us that. Well, here in verse 21, in fact, he's showing us this is what is behind the different ways that people respond to God's word. And there's really one of two ways that we can respond to God's word. We either seek it out, we're going to it, or we're running from it. And that really summarizes mankind. And we can all look at ourselves and see which side of that we're on, if we're very honest with ourselves about it. Are we one that comes to God's word for what he describes here is the purpose concerning our works, or are we on the other side? Now, those who are doing evil, God's word is light. And those that are doing evil, when that light is shining, what does that light do to their deeds? It shows that they're evil, and does somebody who's doing evil, do they want to see that light shining on their works, exposing it for the evil that it is? No, and people that are doing evil, do they want to go anywhere near God's word and hear what it has to say about what they're doing? They hate it. And that's what he says, they hate the light, they don't come to the lights, lest their deeds would be reproved. So they hate what God says, they don't want to hear what God says, they don't want to hear anything that's going to tell them that what they're doing is wrong in the sight of God. Well, that's the world in general, isn't it? Now, we need to be different. If we're going to have our souls saved for eternity, we can't be like that. If we avoid God's word and run from it because we don't want God's word to show us that we're wrong, are we ever going to change? Or are we going to persist in doing what is wrong in God's sight? And if we persist in that, and that's how we die, what's our eternity going to be like? It's going to be an eternity of punishment and separation from God. But those who do truth, he says, come to the light. And it's not just that we're going to it instead of running from it, but we're coming to it for a particular purpose. He says that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. So what is our reason for coming to God's word? Why are we here right now? Why are we studying this word? Why would we desire to? We want to see and make sure that what we're doing is of God, that it's good in his sight. Not just what we think it is or say it is, but what he says it is. And we want to see what his word has to say about what we're doing, to see whether what we're doing really is right in the sight of God or not. And if that light shines on our works and shows us that there's something that we're doing that isn't right, what are we going to do about it? If our heart is right, we're going to change what we're doing. We're going to change to then fit what God says. And if we love God and we love his word, that's what we're going to come to the scriptures to do, so we can get better, so we can grow, so we can please him more, so we can put away from us things that aren't good in his sight. So those are the two basic kinds of works that he speaks about there in John 3:19-21. And it relates to our approach to God's word, our approach to God himself, and ultimately about whether our soul is going to be saved or not. Well, let's look some more at these works of God, because he says that we're coming to see, to have our deeds revealed that they are wrought in God. So works of God, what is wrought or worked by him. Let's look at the works of God. Where do they come from? Well, what did we just see in John 3? What is the source of that light? What is that light? Well, it is his word. And the works of God come from God, and we are shown that in the word of God. Matthew chapter 21, let's turn there, Matthew 21, and look at verses 22 through 27. Now, this is when Jesus was being challenged by the leaders of the Jews, the chief priests and elders of the people. This is during his last week on this earth, so they were preparing for his to try to obtain find someone to betray him, which they found and paid Judas to do it. And then he was crucified at this time. But here he is now in Jerusalem during his last week on the earth. He's teaching in the temple. And it says in Matthew 21, verse 22, when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. So they're interrupting his lesson. And as he's teaching, they said, "By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority?" Is this just an information question, or do they have a point of view? Do they have their judgment on that particular question? Do they have their answer to the question that they're challenging him with? This is a challenge question. What is their belief about this? What are they really saying in the form of a question? They're saying, "You don't have authority for what you're doing. You have no authority to be here in this temple. You have no authority to be teaching what you're teaching. You have no authority to be doing what you're doing. Get out." I mean, that's their point of view. So Jesus answered and said unto them, "I will ask you one thing, which if you will tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things." This is one of my favorite answers of Christ to one of these groups. Well, everything he says should be our favorite, I guess, right? But this is the wisdom that's behind this is truly astonishing. But he's going to answer their question. He agrees to answer their question if they will first answer his. So he said, "The baptism of John, whence was it? Where was it from?" He says, "From heaven or of men?" Now, before we look at how they're going to ponder that question, this question shows us what we just saw in John chapter 3. There are two ultimate sources for any work that is done under the heavens. It's either of heaven or of men. So as we just saw in John 3, the works are evil, either evil or they're good. Well, what determines that? Whether it's from heaven, that is from God, or of men. Now, if it's of men, where is it from ultimately? Well, we'll see that in John 8 as well. But that is of the devil. So if it's from heaven, it's from God. If it's of men, it's from the devil, actually. But Jesus is identifying the two sources of any work. It can only be from one or the other, of heaven or of men. And so he's asked about the baptism of John. Because John the Baptist, as he's known, of course, was baptizing and teaching men to be immersed in water for the remission of their sins. He was doing that by his own authority. Was his baptism of men? Did John just make that up? No. John was doing that because God sent him and told him to do that. He was the one that was prophesied about in Isaiah 40, chapter 40, that he would prepare the way for Christ. That's what he was doing. That teaching and that practice of baptism, immersion in water for the remission of sins, was preparing the people for the baptism of Christ, the one who was coming after John. And so the baptism of John, we know it was from heaven. It was from God. John was not doing that on his own authority. Now, when he's asking these leaders of the Jews this question, if they were going to be honest, which they're not, because they were not honest or sincere people, what would they say? What did they believe about it? Did they believe that John's baptism was from heaven? They did not. They rejected it. And so their reasoning among themselves, it says they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? That would be the right question, wouldn't it? Well, if they're saying that, that would be the right question to ask. Why didn't you believe if it's from heaven? Because they don't. But if we shall say of men, which is what they really believed, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. So they are willingly, knowingly being hypocrites, because what they care for is the power they have, which is based on the favor of the people. So they're not going to be honest about what they really believe. They're trying to pretend like they believe what the people do, but they don't. And so they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. We won't tell because we don't want to be exposed. Well, Jesus knew what he was doing when he asked them this. He knew he was putting them in this dilemma. And so he said to them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Of course, what is the answer to the question? Was what he was doing from heaven or of men? The same question he asked them about John is the same question that they're really asking him. By what authority do you do these things? Jesus is saying John had, his authority was from heaven and so is mine. It's from the Father in heaven. It's of God. It's not of men. It is not of the devil. But those are the two sources of works, of heaven from God or of men, which means from the devil. Now, good works are works of obedience to God's commandments. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19 and look at verses 16 through 19. A good work is from God. If we're going to God's word to see that our deeds are wrought in him, we're going to God's word to find out what is from heaven, what God has revealed from heaven, his revelation to us, teaching us what is good to do. So in Matthew chapter 19, 16 through 19, it says, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now there are many who believe that there is no work, not a good work, nothing in obedience to God's commandments that has anything to do with man's salvation. Somehow, that is an effort to separate salvation, which is from heaven, from what is necessary or the conditions that God in heaven has set for that salvation that he gives through his word, which is from heaven. So how are we going to say that what God commands, which is from heaven, for our salvation, which is from heaven, are separated from each other? Or one doesn't have anything to do with the other, when they have the same source. That, in the beginning, from the face of it, makes no sense whatsoever. But that's what a lot of people, that's where their confusion is about works. They think no work has anything to do with man's salvation. That's not what God says. So this young man is asking Jesus, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, if it is true that there's no work of any kind that man can or should do that has any connection with eternal salvation, then what would the proper answer from Jesus be to that question? What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? If there is none, what should Jesus say? And what would he say? He'd say there is none. What's wrong with you thinking there's anything you can do that can have anything to do with your salvation? That's not what he says, though, is it? Not at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Is there any good thing, good work? Is there any work that is associated with our salvation that is necessary in the sight of God? Well, Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. So he's identifying again the source of what is good. God, just like with John's baptism from heaven, just like we saw in John 3. Our deeds, are they wrought in God? So he's, again, going back to the original source of what defines what a good work is. And that is, it's from God. It can only be from Him if it's good. He's the only source of what is good. And any good thing that we do has to be from Him. He says, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Is keeping God's commandments, does it have anything to do with eternal life? He says, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Does Jesus connect our eternal salvation with doing anything? Well, that's the question he's being asked. What good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? What's Jesus' answer? What are good works? God's commandments. That's the answer. Keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Were those from heaven or of men, those commands? That's from God. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what God has taught. So that's what Jesus said. Now notice, does God command, does he command men to believe in him? Well, if all the things that we have to do to be saved are, if that's what God commands and what is good is a commandment, is faith a commandment? Now, how many people that say, well, you don't have to do anything to be saved. In fact, if you think there is anything that you have to do to be saved, you're trying to earn your salvation and you'll be lost. I mean, there's a lot of people that say that, but how many of those same people say, well, you have to believe in Jesus? They all say that. Well, as soon as somebody says, we have to believe in Jesus, we have to do something. Faith is a commandment of God. Is faith a work? Well, it is. Let's turn to John chapter 4, verses 31 through 34. John 4, 31 to 34 says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So Jesus' entire purpose on this earth, he said, was to finish his Father's work. Did Jesus do anything? His whole life was doing his Father's work, finishing what his Father sent him to do. That's what he said there in John 4, which is really towards the beginning of his ministry. At the end, 3 years later, in John 17, on his last night on the earth, in verse 4, what did Jesus state in this prayer to his Father? I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So Jesus' purpose of being here was to finish and do his Father's works. And he did. And he completed it. Before he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit, what was his last words before that? It is finished. That's what he said before he gave up the ghost and committed his spirit to his Father. He says, it is finished. He completed it all. So he finished the work that his Father gave him to do. That's what he was here for. And faith itself is one of those works. Did Jesus believe in his Father? Of course he did. Did Jesus teach us to believe in him and in his Father? Over and over again he taught that. Well, we started this study in John 3 verses, what's from verses 19 to 21, and we all know verse 16 that we quoted where he says, he that believes will have everlasting life. Is faith a requirement for our eternal salvation? Who doesn't accept that? I mean, it's plainly stated, just about everybody, even the ones that say we don't have to do anything, say that we do have to do that. Well, look at John 6, 28 and 29. John chapter 6, 28 and 29. Well, Jesus was here to do his Father's work and to finish it. And so there were some that said to him in verse 28, John 6, verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And what's Jesus' answer? Well, you've been following me around and hearing all my teaching this time. Don't you understand that there's no work anybody's? That's not what he says. What might we, shall we do that we might work the works of God? Are there works of God that we must work? Is there anything we must do? Well, Jesus answered in verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Is faith a work? Faith is a work. Believing is a work. And it is a necessary work. Is faith, is that from heaven or of men? Faith in God. I mean, this is what's commanded by God from heaven. And we have to believe in him and in his son, Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus says. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Well, you can't believe on the one whom was sent without believing on the one who sent him. And you can't believe in the one who sent the Son without believing in the one whom he sent. If we believe in Christ, we believe in the Father, and vice versa. But that is the work of God. Faith is a work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. How does he describe faith there? A work of faith. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. So how often do we see faith described in terms of it being a work of God? Well, a number we can see several times there. But faith itself is a work. That's an important fact to know. And when people are acknowledging the necessity of believing in Christ for our eternal salvation, they are, by doing so, acknowledging that there are works we have to do to be saved, faith being one of those works, not the end of it. There's not one work. God commands us to believe, and then he commands us from that faith to obey all of his commandments, as we've already seen in Matthew 19. But we have to obey all the commandments of God, beginning with faith, but carrying forth to all the other commandments that he gives to us. Those are works of God. Well, the next question is about works of man and how they will not save us. But we're out of time for that, so that's where we will pick up the next time we have the opportunity, Lord willing, in this study about salvation and works. But right now, at this time, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to anyone who needs that eternal salvation that the Lord has made available for all of us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're ready to work that work of God, to believe in Christ, God's Son, whom he has sent, and you're willing to confess that faith you have in him before men, as the Lord requires in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33, then if you're ready then to repent and be immersed in water, baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, as he commands in Acts 2:38, we would be very happy to assist you in your obedience to the gospel, doing those necessary works for your eternal salvation, that you can then live your life to finish the work that the Father has given us all to do in this life in following his Son. But if you're ready to become a child of God by obedience to his gospel this morning, we would encourage you to come now. If you're a member of the Lord's body, if you've not been following him as you should and you need to return to him, this is an opportunity for you to do that also. So anyone that needs to come now, please do so while we stand together and sing.